We're going to turn tonight to John's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to read some verses from this chapter. And when you turn to it, you will recognize it. The chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ meets a woman, and it's a very touching chapter. And every meeting Christ had with women, it's very touching. The Lord Jesus met with a number of women and converted them. And there are wonderful stories, every one of them. Mary Magdalene, we think of her in Luke chapter 8. A woman, seven devils, and God worked in her heart. And then we think of that woman in Luke chapter 7. That woman that came in and anointed the feet of Christ. Another sinful woman, and the Lord forgave her. Of course, we think of the woman in John chapter 8. The woman taken in adultery. And once again, the Lord dealt with that woman with grace. And here it is the same again. How tender the Lord was to the woman he met. And we're going to read from the opening verse of the chapter. It's very difficult to cut bits out of the chapter because the whole story is there and the gradual progression of Christ working with this woman is there, and we don't really want to cut parts out of the chapter. We're going to read down really to the verse 30 of the chapter. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, Why, what seekest thou? Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And we'll end our reading there of that verse. Trust in the Lord, we'll add
His blessing to the reading of His precious Word.
Just going to seek the Lord for a moment as we come to consider His precious Word. Our God and Father, we thank Thee again for Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the revelation that Thou dost give of Thy salvation. O Lord, this salvation of Thine transforms lives. And we pray, Lord, that lives tonight might be transformed. Lord, take Thy Word and drive it home by the power of the Spirit. O Lord, let Thy Word be released upon the hearts of men and apply it, Lord, with power. And give us, O God, Thy help. Give us, Lord, the unction that we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The circumstances of the events that are recorded in John's Gospel chapter 4 have the potential for developing into a very explosive situation. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, a Jew, coming into the presence of this Samaritan woman. And we know, of course, from what we are told here, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That was a historic thing going back a long time. The Lord Jesus Christ, He sits on that well, and out comes the woman, and He asks her for a drink. Instead of the situation developing into rancor and hostility, the narrative comes to the conclusion where this woman receives Jesus Christ as her Savior. Now in the process of the conversation, as it proceeds from Christ's request for this drink, the Lord does three things. He sets Himself up as the one who can satisfy this woman's need. That's the first thing. He says, I have the living water. And then He shows the woman her great sin. And we'll come to see that from verse 16 through 18. And then, thirdly, He turns the woman to look beyond her own religion to the one and only true God. Christ said, ye know not what ye worship. And then Christ turns her to the only true salvation. Now, we have here the Lord revealing Himself as the Messiah in verse 26. And at that instant, the woman returns to the city with a wonderful declaration on her lips. And we find that declaration in verse 29, the verse that I want to center your attention upon tonight. And this woman goes into that city, a changed woman, and she says, come, see a man, which told me all things that I did. Is not this Christ? And that, dear friend, is a wonderful confession of a woman that has been transformed by the grace of God. I want to think about the woman of Samaria's confession of Christ. Very simply. First of all, I want you to see her confession reveals the terrible exposure of sin that there was. She says in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. And those words, all things that ever I did, tell us something about the previous life that that woman was living. This revelation to her about her sinful life, no doubt, was disturbing. It probably was annoying, but it was so necessary. Before she enters into peace and to joy, she must know the misery and the turmoil that is in her own soul. Now, I want you to examine verse 15 with me for a moment. The Lord Jesus has been leading her all the way in this conversation. He's been controlling the direction and the destination of this particular conversation. And He has told her in verse 14 about the fact she can have of her lasting life, and that this well of water can spring up in her life. Now in verse 15, she's got really interested now, and she wants this thing. And she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she wants this living water. But before she can get that living water, the Lord Jesus Christ says, there are certain things that have to you have to realize in your life before you can come to experience this salvation. And verse 16 through to 18 give us this terrible exposure of sin. In verse 16, Jesus said unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And here he's putting his finger on the sin, the woman's life. She answers in verse 17, "I have no husband." Some commentators say that she's throwing up her guard here. She hasn't very much to say. She's maybe trying to back off a little here. You see, all the woman said in the previous verses, if you have the original language, she has quite a lot to say. Many words are used. But here in verse 17, the woman uses three words. Now it's four in our English, but it's only three words in the original language. And she gives this very short reply, no doubt willing to divert the conversation. "I have no husband." And that's the end of it, she thinks. But then the Lord begins to probe, and the Lord begins to identify her sin. And in verse 18 we have it, or verse 17, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly." Her past sin is identified. She has had five husbands. Maybe she'd had five divorces for all I know. Her present sin, she's living in adultery. But what we want to see is this. Her whole life was like an open book to Christ. Nothing was hidden. How startling to realize that this stranger knew all about her. All things that ever I did. That's a truth, you know, that needs to penetrate my heart. That's a truth that needs to penetrate your heart tonight. God knows all about you. You might be in here, and I don't know, you're a stranger to me. And you might be hiding your life from others. That's easy, of course, that's possible. And you don't want anyone to know what you're doing, what you're thinking, how you're conducting your life. But I want to tell you, God knows all about it. God knows all about it. Now, what was the Lord doing as he worked with this woman? Well, he was showing her that if she wanted the living water, if she wanted salvation, if she wanted satisfaction, if she wanted everlasting life, then her sin had to be confronted. She just couldn't get salvation and hold on to her sin. No. And he says, you have to think about your sin here. You see, her sin was the reason for her lifestyle, for her craving for that which could satisfy. Her sin must be forsaken if she's going to be converted to Christ. There have to be repentance here. And you see, this is the manner in which God has worked down through the centuries. I could take you to passage after passage in the Word of God to show you this is the way God has actually worked with people. And it's the way God is going to work with you if you're going to be saved. Don't you think for a moment that God is just going to forget about your sin? No, He's not. You have to think about your sin if you're going to be converted. Well, that's the problem, you see. You need to be turned from your sin if you're ever going to be saved. We think of the book of Jude, and it speaks there of Enoch. You know the story of Enoch, the man that walked with God? Well, there is a quotation in the book of Jude, verse 14, and it tells us what Enoch said in his preaching. He says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." And here is Enoch, he's a preacher. What's he talking about to the people? He's talking about their ungodliness. He's exposing their sin. We think of Jonah. He went to the city of Nineveh, and he says, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." What was he doing? He was exposing the people's sin, because the judgment, in actual fact, was the end of the people's sin. We think of Paul before Felix in Acts 24. And there Paul reasoned with Felix, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. Now, Felix was an adulterer, living a lascivious life. And Paul touched on his temperance. He touched on his sin. And he was an actual saying, "Felix, if you're going to be converted, your sin needs to be dealt with." Now let us come tonight to address ourselves, because all these things that we've said, all these things that were revealed in the Bible, and John chapter 4 in particular, all these things are for us. Because if we would have God's salvation, if we would have eternal life, if we would have a home in heaven, there are some things that we need to learn. There must be an exposing of our sin, whatever that entails. We may be startled and alarmed. We might be annoyed and angry with the preacher. Oh, I wish he wouldn't speak to God. I wish he wouldn't talk about sin. I wish he would give some little homily in which, well, I would be encouraged and happy. Well, you're in the wrong place tonight, because sin, you see, has to be faced up to, and our sin must be faced up to. For our sin is an offense to God. Oh, you might offend others by your sin. You might do harm to others by your sin. But principally, sin is an offense to God. And our sin, if it's not forgiven, if it's not repented of, will bring eternal wrath of God upon us. In fact, the wrath of God is upon you tonight if you're not saved. You don't have to wait, you know, to go to hell before the wrath of God is upon you. No, it's on you tonight. There's a sword, as it were, hanging over your head. And it's the sword of God's justice. And it simply means if the wrath of God is upon you now and you die, then you'd feel that wrath of God forevermore. If there's no revelation of awareness of sin, there is no salvation from God. This woman realized it. She says, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. She recognized in that confession an exposure of her sin. She had to realize there was something wrong. Had to realize that this thing had to be dealt with. Just over a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, I was working at home and working with a wire brush, and I brushed the carpet that I was working with, and it was a very sharp pain went into my finger, and started to bleed a little. That was okay. And I wondered, did a piece of that steel, a piece of that metal go into my finger, and I left it for over a week. And then last Sunday morning, I was working with my finger, pressing it, and there was a very sharp pain in my finger. I realized there was something wrong. It wasn't a major thing, but nonetheless, there was something in my finger that should not have been there, and I began to squeeze the finger and look at it, and I discovered at the point of my finger that there was a white mark appeared, and just in the middle of that white mark, there was something looked like a piece of steel in my finger. And I went to the hospital in the afternoon. Of course, they looked at it, x-rayed, and sure enough, there was a piece of wire in my finger that I didn't know about half an inch long. Now, I could have left it there and said, well, I'll just persevere here, but I knew there was something wrong in there. I went to the hospital, as I said, and the nurse, she got to work. She cut the finger open and extracted the steel. And I brought the piece, can I help on it? She said, yes, and I pasted it on a little piece of paper. Now I can look at it. And I says, that was my problem. My dear friend, there's something wrong inside in your heart tonight. And if you didn't get it sorted out, it's going to agitate and it's going to fester and it's going to bring trouble later on. There are many people here tonight and they can look back and say, yes, there's my sin in the past, but it's gone. It's been extracted. It's been taken out. Been dealt with. This woman confessed her sin in that confession. But then this confession of the woman shows that she recognized the Christ. And this is a most wonderful thing. She said, you see, in verse 29, is not this the Christ? In actual fact, in saying this, she was declaring that Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen deliverer of God. Now, whenever you and I think of Christ, we instantly think of Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world. That's right and proper. But people in those days, when they spoke of Christ, they weren't particularly thinking of Jesus Christ, for many of them didn't believe in Christ. The Jews, the Pharisees, believed in a Christ who would come to deliver, but they did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Christ. Didn't believe that he was that Messiah. But this woman believed that Jesus actually was the Messiah. Now, how did she come to that conclusion? And I want to show you this very, very, very carefully tonight. Now, how did she come to this conclusion? How did this heathen, idolatrous woman, and that's what she was, she was in darkness, like many of the other people in that city of Samaria. How did this woman come to this conclusion? Well, simply by linking up what he said about her and what she knew, such a Messiah. For this woman was not totally ignorant of the Messiah that should come. Now you think of the words of verse 29, think very carefully. He told me, Exactly with those words. So Christ is actually revealing to her. He told her all things that ever I did. Just keep that at the back of your mind for a moment. Now the Samaritans rejected most of the Old Testament, but they had a high regard for the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. And I want you to turn for a moment or two, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I want you to set your own eyes upon this. I could quote the thing, but I want you to see the words for yourself, because this is very important. We're linking up, remember, what this woman has actually said. He told me all things that ever I did. Now let's come to verse 15. And Moses here is the author of court, or the human author of the book. And it says in verse 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Unto him ye shall hearken." Verse 18, God says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him." These verses relate to the one who will speak God's word. And this is the Messiah that's spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now this woman was impressed about Christ's revelation to her. Deeply impressed. In fact, in the verse 19 she said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then when we come to verse 29, she speaks about this Messiah who had told her all things. Now it's very clear she believes in the Messiah, for verse 25 says, "I know the Messiah's coming." She believed that one would come. Although she was a heathen woman of a mixed religion, she believed that this Messiah would come. And this Messiah had come, you see, and had come face to face with her and had spoken to her the Word of God. And she, no doubt, linked up what she knew of Deuteronomy chapter 18, with what he said, "Told me all things." This is the work of the prophet. Now let's come a step further. Remember, we're considering the fact that she recognized the Christ. Let's try and reason the way this woman would have reasoned. And she may have reasoned like this: if I recognize him as the Christ, in his accurate assessment and revelation of my life, then what he says about himself is equally true. If what he says about me is true, and she knew it was true, then what he says about himself is true, and what he says about salvation is true. And then she'll say to herself, He is the living water. That will satisfy me. That will bring me everlasting life. He has exposed my sin, but he's also said that he is the living water. Here I am seeking fulfillment in life, in evil and sensual living, and it is never satisfied. Is not this the Christ who can give me all that I need? He has shown me my sin, but I'm beginning to realize that this is the one that can truly satisfy my need. He has said also that we don't know what we worship. Our worship is vain. Our worship is idolatrous. I believe that as well. He's true in what he says there. He has declared that salvation is of the Jews. That simply means that salvation comes through the word of God that the Jews received. And of course, Jesus Christ, he was a Jew himself. And in fact, the word there that the Lord uses in verse 22, the translation should be, "For thee salvation is of the Jews." Salvation is coming from the Jewish quarter here, you see, and it's all pointing to Christ. For he is the salvation, he is the Savior of the Jews. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this woman would conclude, she had to conclude. Now all this is not in the chapter in so many words, but we must see it as this. This woman would conclude that the Christ not only brings that salvation, but is that salvation. She had come face to face with her sin, but she had come face to face with the Christ who came to save her. And you know, this is where every one of us need to come if salvation from sin is to be obtained. We need to see Christ as our Savior. the one who bore our sins at the cross, the one who gives us the living water, I, the one who is the living water. Peter said, Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other but Jesus Christ. Do you see in Christ all that you need? There's no salvation in the church. There's no salvation in Christians. There's no salvation in the good works that you do. There's no salvation and salvation in anything else, Jesus Christ. And that's what this woman came to see. What a revelation. Come see a man. Come see this man. Is not this Christ? Then I want you to see finally that the confession of the woman shows that she had received Christ as her Savior. You see, there was an open and public confession of Christ by this woman. And that was evidence of salvation. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And she was openly confessing Christ as hers. And she wants others to have the same. Come see a man. Come see this man. She was really saying what David said in Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. He has saved me from sin. Now this type of confession, this type of confession that we see here is shown in other places in the Word of God and demonstrates clearly that salvation has been obtained. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, 37? When he was confronted with the gospel and Philip challenged him, he wanted to be baptized. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, you had to believe. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that was his confession of salvation. We think of Peter in John chapter 6. Remember how many of the disciples walked away from Christ, walked no more with him. John 6 and 66. It's a good thing to remember. These people departed from the Lord. And just think about three sixes there. And walked no more with him. And the Lord turns to Peter and the other disciples. He says, will you also go away? My woman had thought, if that was us, oh, I better not say too much here. There are enough people have left me. But the Lord wasn't interested in that. He was interested in genuine belief in him. And he said to the disciples, will ye also go away? And again we have Peter with one of those wonderful confessions. He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was declaring, I'm on the side of Christ. I'm confessing him as mine. That was evidence, you see, that Peter was saved. It wasn't just lip service he was giving. No, this was from the heart. He was saying, this Christ is mine. Can you say tonight that this Christ is hers? Can you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the one that means everything. Finally, tonight I want you to observe the very strong indication of her complete and utter abandonment to Jesus Christ. The fact that she's found in him everything that she needs. I want you to look at the beginning of the chapter, and verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now she's coming, of course, to get water from that well, but this water pot is a symbol, if you like, of her trying to satisfy her own physical person. That's a symbol of that earthly satisfaction that she will receive. I want to bring you to verse 28. It says, the woman then left her water pot. Oh, what a wonderful little detail that is. She left that water pot that would bring her earthly satisfaction. And she had no interest now in the water that came to draw. She was only interested in Christ. The token, really, of that which could not satisfy was left for the Savior who could. You maybe come into this meeting tonight with a little water pot, and you're trying to fill it every day and to bring satisfaction to your heart. Would you just not leave that water pot behind and say, it is Christ that satisfies. This could be the night that will change your life forever. Change it for good. If you come as a poor, lost sinner, like this woman did, confessed her sin
and embraced the Christ, and that will change you forever. Or if you reject that message and turn your back on the gospel, that may also change your life. Go out into the darkness like Judah, like Judas. We read of him, John's Gospel, chapter 18. It says that he received the sop from Christ, he received the bread from Christ, and then he went out, and it says it was night, and it was an eternal night for him. Christ tonight offers you the sop of his salvation that will truly satisfy. Will you receive it? Will you take it? Will you embrace the Christ that this woman embraced? Will you put your faith, your trust, completely in Jesus Christ? Then you too can say, come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did is not this. Let us pray.